You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 3. Now, just if I can, I'm going to try. You have to understand the sometime when you're reading the Bible or studying, when you're doing that, or hearing. Things that are going to hit you that you may not understand or be comfortable with, whatever. But the rule of thumb is you hang in there, and when you don't understand something, then you sit and get some more information so you can understand better. And you need to do that. So sometime when it's speaking or whatever, things come out. And like when we ended last time, we reminded ourselves that God is true and good, and the world system is evil and bad. The whole ball of wax is bad. Now, that's an awful thing. That's awful. There's human good. There's all that kind of thing. And understandable, but in order to lock that in, that's what I want to have an exercise for you. When you don't understand something, back off and come forward again and get piece after piece. God's word from Genesis to Revelation is God's. Scripture, read the scripture, search the scripture, for in them, by them, you'll understand God's wonderful person and will and word by his word. So, just an exercise. Having said that little thought, God is true and good, and all the world system we live in is evil and untrue. It's a big lie that we catch it. There's a lie. Now, exercise to see that. If I can, in 1 Gospel of John, all I'm going to do is go hither and yon, which you can do in your own, in God's word, and you pick up piece after piece. You may not get all the pieces when you want them, but as we go, as you go, as we go, word for word, book for book, chapter by chapter, little pieces keep coming. What you thought about a year ago may come up tonight, a piece that connects to what we did a year ago in your head. But it took a whole year before that piece came, but you waited, and the pieces come together. Now, and God helps us. So, in the light of that, God, we're looking at your word, and we want to understand the rightness, the true, the goodness of yourself, truth. So, in John chapter 3, you know as you read, verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, if I believe, I'm not condemned. But if I don't believe, I'm just condemned. There's no variation, there's no tolerance, there's no allowing for, well, you're not bad, bad. But then as you keep reading, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son of God shall not, N-O-T, see life. But the wrath of God, present tense, is abiding on him. When's the wrath of God abiding on the person? Right now. When is the person condemned? Right now. It doesn't give you any freedom to play games with it. You're just lost. You can't be saved. that way. Therefore, whatever the system I live in, there's no thing that's able to save me in and by itself. I need to come to God in his saving grace. So, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over if I can, over to John while you're here. Over to John and chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, you're going to pick up another thought. And the Lord Jesus, here's all the Jewish dear people, Pharisees and Sadducees and all of them. And there they are. And they're having a discussion, as it were. And they're trying to say that they're being Jews and being a child of Abraham makes it. And God said, no, it doesn't make it. They said it did. So when you're reading back and forth, and God said, what I tell you is true, but you don't believe the truth, so you're left in a lie. And therefore, verse 44, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. No truth. Therefore, when we say the world system, and you know all, he's the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2, all of that. What do we know about the devil? He's just one liar. And everything in the whole system is his in the kingdom of darkness. And it's a lie. Hang on. Now, see, there's, boy, it can't be. It is. But you got to see it. You got to stand back and see the picture. Now, so therefore, and to do it a different way, over to 1 John. The first epistle of John. And as you come to the first epistle of John, you're going to notice in 1 John chapter 5, picking up directly in the light of the context, again, chapter 5, verse 19, for time's sake, verse 19. And we know that we are of God. We know that we're saved. We know God is God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, what part of the world isn't in wickedness? How's that? What part of the world system? Not the buildings and not grass and mountains. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about the system of humans being leaving God out in the kingdom of darkness, and children that don't know the truth, they're in darkness, they have no light, and therefore they live under the rule. We live under the rule of the government of these United States. The whole world system lives under the government of God. But the whole world system, the devil is the boss. But God is over the boss. He's the boss of the bosses. Now, so the whole world lieth in the wickedness. So if you're going to read, there's nothing going to come out here that's going to, it's all going to say the same thing. But it struck you in this beginning. Let it sink in. It just comes together. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can't, think of it going back now. You don't have to turn there necessarily, and going back to Genesis, and Genesis 1:23, 24, 25, 26. God, we're made in the image and likeness of God. That's why we aren't a deer or a mouse. We're different, and that's why we know God, who made us, So we're looking. We aren't looking out here for the stars or the moon or the sun or animals or anything else. We aren't looking for them, for that to be God. Because we're, look at us humans. God who made us has to be more like us and bigger and better than us. Because we're the, here we are. Now, hang on. So, in the light of that, in Genesis 6. So, what do you know? Adam and Eve, they knew God. They lost their relationship in the Genesis chapter 3 because they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and lost their relationship. So Cain only knew his mother and father as sinners saved by grace. Cain never knew his mother and father when before they sinned. Cain never knew that. The only thing he ever knew, he saw his mother and father after they had sinned. So he never knew what it would have been like to be without sin. And so Cain chose, in God's presence, he chose to not listen to God. He looked at his mother and father, and he looked at ultimately his brother, and he didn't do that. So when you come to Genesis 6, you got a whole world system that just leaves God out. There is no religion then. There are no politics then. It's just people living all over. They don't have any of that. But they, and here's God. And they just choose to leave him out. And you know from Genesis 6, 5, and they did evil continually. That's what they did. They never stopped doing what? Leaving God out of the picture. Leaving God out of the picture leaves you with a lie, a plain lie, an untruth. You're seeking to be a human on God's planet and be there alive, and no, God did not make it to be. God did not make us to be sinners. God did not make the world to have sin. Sin came along and invaded God's wonderful plan and purpose. And that plan and purpose then is intentionally ignored. And they didn't do it. So when you come to Genesis 11, they then built it. You know, they had a tower in the city. They got religion going up and politic around. They got the city and the tower. And then they divided up because God judged them, Genesis 10, etc. And you got all the nations. All the nations now have religion and politics. And you got a whole world, we're living in it. Now, but that world system is a lie. It's a lie. It isn't true. Is that what God intended to be? The world system? No. No, he's being gracious. And we're going to pick that up. We won't catch it now, but I don't think yet. But God is being merciful. Why? God created, and when Christ died on the cross, he died for how many human beings? He died for every single human being. And that's for us humans, and for the 25 people that aren't born yet, he died for them. That's why he has to finish, because God had all of those people in his head and heart, as it were, and he died for them. They all have to be born. Do you understand? They have to be born. That's why everything has to happen. And that's why the world's going where it is, because God already has done it. And it has to finish out. Now, and that helps you with abortion and everything if you really put the pieces together. Now, so here we are looking in Genesis, etc. And Abraham came along and looked to God, and Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, God used Moses to raise up the nation of Israel. And when God raised up the nation of Israel, Israel got into what? The nations are all doing religion and politics. They're all doing what they're doing, disregarding God. So, but here comes Abraham and here's Moses, and God introduces himself at Mount Sinai to the people. And what are they going to do? And God gives, they didn't understand. Instead of trusting God and thanking God for what he was doing to make them a very prized, special people, they didn't have that in their head. And they said, God, what do you want us to do? And we'll do it. That was the wrong way. That's why they got the Ten Commandments and the law. They asked for it and they got it. Now, what do we know when God gave the law? Exodus 26, etc. And God will be merciful. He's going to judge generation after generation, but he's going to be merciful always to the thousands. He'll always be merciful. You'll pick it up, we won't get it yet. You got the idea. Now, it's a wonderful thing. You just got to put the pieces. Simple. All comes together. Now, so therefore, having said that, and God doing what he's doing in a most wonderful way, over to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 44, and you will note, now remember in Exodus we have God telling the world, Israel was to demonstrate to the world that there are no other gods, there's no stars aren't gods, nowhere, and you cannot create God, make a God as we did all these things, Ezekiel 14 and that. We make idols and gods and religion in our heart and throw it out in front of us. We'll look at it in a minute. Now, having said that, so here we are looking, and God is going to go with Moses, and he's going to give him the Ten Commandments, etc. And Moses is going to what in the Ten Commandments? God, you must not be idolatrous. Do not make anything in any way, shape, or form that you can see, touch, taste, smell, anything. Don't make anything. God is holy and marvelously, uniquely different. He's holy. So don't make anything like him. Idolatry. Now, what do we know about idolatry? Idolatry is found, Galatians 5:20. You have to turn there. The works of the flesh. And then you name them, and you come down to verse 19 and verse 20. And what happens in verse 20? The first word, the works of the flesh. You have idolatry. You carry your thought and mind creates idolatry. You are idolatrous. That's the old sin nature. And you can't get rid of the dumb thing. So you thank God when he saves you from idolatry. Now, but idolatry is a main item. I mean, it's false. Idols are not anything. And you know, in Deuteronomy, just mentioning that, in Deuteronomy, what are you going to say to Israel? They have no faith. And they provoke me, said God. They provoke me by no gods. They put idols out there, and their thinking and their feeling out in front of them, and call it God. And God said, there are no gods. There's no God. And they mock me, and I become jealous that you're calling the table God. And I will not tolerate that. And that's what we do, idolatry. Now, having said that, and then if you kept reading in Deuteronomy, what are you going to read? And God said, now, I am going to help them with a people that are no people. They think they're somebody, the nations. They all think they're something. Pride, P-R-I-D-E. We all think we're somebody, something special. They think there's something down South America. They think there's somebody up in Canada. They think there's somebody in New York City. Everyone thinks there's somebody. So in the process, and God said, I am going, they put in front of me no God, and I am going to put in front of them a no people. People that are judged. They are not people that are going to help you. That the unsaved world and the unsaved world, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity, all of it that you're reading in Jeremiah, that's what they're going to put. I'm going to make you all, I'm going to make the Jew face. They wanted to be like the nations, and they are like the nations, and they're going to lose out because they had a God, and those aren't people. Those are all people that are to be judged, are being judged, have been judged. Now, so Isaiah 44, to see it in the illustration. As you have in Isaiah chapter 44, picking up in verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And then you slide down, I'm no God, and you're going to lie down in the thing. Verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid, for I have told you thee, I have told thee from that time, and I have declared it. You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Verse 9, they that make a graven image, idolatry. They that make a graven image, and all of them are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know not, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god of molten a graven image, or a graven molten, or a graven image, that is profitable for nothing. And then you keep reading about the idols. There are idols there. Verse 10. Behold, all thy fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen that are men, let them all be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yea, let them fear. And they shall be ashamed altogether. In other words, the whole system, you make the idols, you worship the idols, you're trusting the idols, and the idols are nothing. They're a big lie. Now pick that, keeping that, and sliding along. And then it goes and tell you, you can take it at your leisure, verse 12, 13, 14, the idols are there, the carpenter makes them, he makes them and makes the idol according to your specifications, and you knock down the tree, you use the tree to make whatever you want, firewood to cook, and to make your idol out of it. Now, having said that, and you keep going, and now, if I can, the person that gets into this idolatry, as you read it, I'll read verse 19, and none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire, yea, also I have baked bread upon the coals thereof, I have roasted flesh and eaten it, and shall I make the residue, the rest of the wood that I didn't burn or use, thereof, an abomination. I'm going to make it an idol. I got some leftovers. I'm going to make it an idol. And shall I fall down to a stalk of a tree and worship it? That's the idea. Verse 20, he feedeth on ashes. He feedeth. In other words, he's feeding on that which is nothing, and he's eating nothing, and having nothing and being nothing. His whole dumb system is useless. If I'm going to trust what I have believed, then I do it. Now watch, verse 20. He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He's trusting the stupid stuff that'll never work, that he cannot deliver his soul. He can't get out of the dumb thing. Next statement, you'll see it. Nor say, end verse 20, is there not a lie, L-I-E, in my right hand? He's holding up his idol, and he can't see that it's a stupid idol he made. He's so deceived, so committed to what he made, to what he believes. He won't let it go. He hangs on to it tooth and nail. He can't let it go. He can't understand the stupid thing in his hand is nothing. But he can't see it. And you try to help people sometime to doing something. They're doing it isn't going to work. What you're doing is not going to come out. But they don't want to see it and don't want to hear it. And they don't let it go. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, I think you're catching the idea here. We haven't even started. But to get the idea, the whole system is a lie. It's false. Jumping may help you. Illustration quickly. If God were to take us and we're saved, and God take us, even if you aren't saved, God and you die, what do you think when you die? That it's all going to be like this? Politics and religion and coming and going and people. You think it's going to be like that? It's all gone. It never was true. It never was true. It never was meant to last. The body you live in is flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This isn't meant to go anywhere. It just isn't meant. So take your vitamins anyway and do what you do. But it isn't meant to go. It's a lie. It isn't meant. It's death. It's death. It isn't what God intended. It isn't what it's good. God is good, and he has a wonderfully good plan. But if you stick to the bad plan, that's a lie, it's false, you never get to the good. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind if I can, so God is going to do what he does in his most wonderful way. And so we're going to go and say, and like we said in chapter 44, verse 20, it's a lie, but we can't see it. So therefore, we're going to go and we look at the lie. Over to Romans, if I can, and Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, and we're just hitting yawn. And if you put the pieces together, man, that's so wonderful. It's a straight statement. The lie, everything is false. It isn't meant to be. God condemned the whole thing in the cross. He condemned it. Romans in chapter 1, and watch it come together again. Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, present tense, having and holding something. What are they having and holding? The truth in unrighteousness. Sliding down verse 25. They have the truth, but they don't want to know the truth. As you know, verse 19 and 20. 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, change the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They did. They turned the whole thing upside down. And that's why you have, you know what, we do it so many times, different ways, to remind ourselves, Ephesians 5, Isaiah 5:20. You call evil good, good evil. Evil, bad. Evil, good, bad. Good, evil, bad, right and wrong. So good and bitter and sweet, et cetera. We turn it all upside down. Light, we call light darkness, and darkness light. We turn it all upside down so we can live with it. That's how we, so we can handle light. We don't want to have to think we're in the dark all the time. And we don't have to think it's a law. It isn't going to last. Nothing's going to last. It all has to be replaced. So, Romans, and thus chapter verse 25. So all comes. So you keep turning, and you go over to chapter 3. Romans 1, 2, 3. And now 3 is going to sum up, what do we know about humans? What do we know about society? So when we come to chapter 3, we're going to put the, what did you learn in chapters 1, 2, and 3? Chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can. And going to verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, if you didn't know anything else, find me a right person apart from God. There's a lot of dear, good people. There's no, thank God for them, but they aren't good enough. You can't be saved by your goodness. You can't do it. Next thing, verse 11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together. They are all together. Unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Not one. No. So there isn't any, no. And sliding down to verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. What's the conclusion? There's no good, there's no righteous, they're not there. Because there's no one. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have to die. He'd just wait till you got good enough, till you were good enough. But you don't. You're never good enough. You're never right enough. We aren't. So without it. So therefore, verse 19, conclusion, know you not that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. And they're using Exodus and the law as the highest thing. And the Jewish people had, if anyone had light, they did in the darkness, but they chose to reject it. That, verse 19, purpose that every mouth may be stopped, and the ALL, all the world may become guilty before God. Now, who's left out? All the world. None righteous, none good, no one. So when you said, if you say, all the world is wrong. And that's why God says in 1 John, love not the world. Your love of the world, you lose the love of the Father. The Father hates the dumb system. He saves you in it and takes you out of it, but leaves you in it. So you belong to him. But you're in the world to be a little light in the darkness, to be right in the wrongness, to show them the difference. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, in God's wonderful, wonderful way, to do what he does. And we know, again, 2 Thessalonians, we were there, but do it quickly. 2 Thessalonians, it's very helpful in the light of where it's all going. Whole world is guilty. And we call good evil and evil good, darkness light and light darkness. We turn it, Isaiah 5:20, and we turn the whole thing upside down. So, in 2 Thessalonians, if I can, picking up, please, where are you? 2 Thessalonians, and in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 7, the mystery, remember looking at the day in which we live, the mystery of iniquity or lawlessness, thus already, it's already existent. Think of our study in morning worship and 1 John, the spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. So, and for the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness that is already working. It's the last hour kind of time. Only he who now restraining. Only he who now lets until he be taken out of the way. The Spirit of God is holding back the wrath of God, the tribulation, because he isn't finished with the church, all that is going to be saved. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and will shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. What do we know about Satan? He's a liar. He can't tell you the truth. He hates the truth. When you say you hate the truth, you hate God. He is the truth. So, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish, they're perishing. Remember, God so loved the world that he saves us from perishing. Because, verse 10, because they received not the love of the truth. They didn't want to know the truth. They didn't want to know it. They believe that. We'd rather believe the lie. Right, that's right. That they might be saved. And verse 11, and for this cause, because they don't want to know the truth, God is going to allow the tribulation to exist. That's why the tribulation is going to come. You didn't want to know the truth. You want to know what a lie is? Let me show you. And here comes 7 years to discover what it is to not have the truth and to go against the truth. Now, so, verse 11 again. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie of the falsehood. They're going to believe a lie. They're going to believe the Antichrist is the right one. He's going to make it good. He's going to make it right. But he isn't going to make it right. It's not going to come out right. It can't come out right. So no matter how you do it, it isn't going to come out. So God, it's a falsehood. It's not true. There's none righteous, no, not one. And then we didn't even do anything. But what do you know? What do you know? There's no way to say. If you said the whole system, the whole world system is under judgment, the whole world system is going to be, Gospel of John chapter 12. And in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, if I may, chapter 12, picking up verse 30 in light of the context, Jesus answered and said, remember, God allowed the conversation between the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect manhood and God before in the early days, way back in Noah's day and Abraham's day and that, and Job's day. What do you know? God talked to them like this. Like this. They didn't have any Bible. They just had to be them and God. And when they wanted to know and look to God, there was God. And they had a wonderful time. And God did wonderful things. That's how we got the book of Genesis, etc. God gave it to Moses to do. Because he's listening, and God told him, I say, let me tell you what it is, how it went. Now, picking up, please, chapter 12. That, in that background, verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. I wanted you to hear that I can talk to God, and God talks to me. And I want you to go and listen. And what did you hear, among other things? Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. That's the devil, the god of the world system. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'm going to be crucified. And if I be crucified from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. In other words, I'm going to send out a summons. I'm going to summon every human being that I ever created. And they're going to give an account to me. Every human being is summoned. Summoned, like getting a summons. And you've got to go to court. God has given a summons to the whole world. He let them be born. And then he said, did you believe? You're going to answer to me. Every knee shall bow in my presence. They're all going to answer to me. And thus, what are you talking about? So you didn't have to guess. Verse 31, verse 33. And this, he said, signifying what death he should die. He was going to die on the cross. And he died for all men. He died that all men might be saved. That's what he did. God meant that way, to save them in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And God is what? He's going to be merciful to everyone. So every generation, even going back quickly, here's Genesis 6, in the days of Noah, all of those millions of people, whatever it was, they could have been believers, but Noah chose to walk with God. The others did not. Noah chose to. I'm not going to do it. Well, you don't have to join the club. Say, don't be like us. You don't have to beat that like that. You don't have to. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can do whatever you want. Up to a point now. And God is doing that. What? He's going to show mercy. And so everyone that's ever born has to understand that they were born physically to be born spiritually. They may not want to be born spiritually, but they have the privilege of being saved in a most wonderful way. But they don't have to be. But every one of you, all of them, it is appointed unto men once, Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, it has to be.